podcasting is a different medium. If you've done traditional media training, podcasting is a 30 to 60 minute conversation. So how do you weave some of your personal narrative? What have you done in your career and your life? What are you aspiring to do in the future? How do you weave all that together?
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of Podcast on Podcasting. And today I have Brandy on the podcast. It's Waylon, right? Am I saying it right?
You got it.
I'm the worst dyslexic reader and I second guess anything. And so that was me 5 seconds ago. I'm like, dang it, I should have asked.
You did great.
So we're with Brandy Waylon. And one cool thing is she's one of the co-founders of a company that you might want to work with if you're trying to get booked on lots of other podcasts. They really crush it at that. And we're going to be talking about getting you on other podcasts, whether you do it yourself or if you work with a PR agency. You're definitely going to be learning some tips and tricks on how to get your voice out on other podcasts. Now, it's interesting because just like last week, we were recording for hers to be on the blog. And one of the things that we talked about is if you want to grow your podcast, if you want to get your name out and start doing the two reasons why you even started your podcast in the first place. Reason number one is because you wanted to grow your influence. Reason number two is you wanted to make an impact. Because of those two things, you're going to fail if you don't get in front of people. Like if you just have a podcast, but nobody listens, you don't make an impact, you don't make an income, you have nothing. And so you need to find a way to solve that problem. And I found that literally the number one way that I've grown my influence is by getting on other people's podcasts and being able to have those collaborative times where you're getting your voice out in front of other people's audiences. And that's literally what Brandy specializes in, what her company specializes in. It's called KitCaster. You can find it at kitcaster.com. By the way, all the links are in the show notes right now. So you could literally scroll down and get to any part of this. We're going to talk about how can you find a better way to grow your podcast by being a guest on other people's podcasts. So I'm really, really stoked about that. Also, if you want Brandy's full bio, it's in the show notes. I mention this all the time on this podcast. Being dyslexic, it is not fun for me to try to read through somebody's long bio. And I don't think you want to hear it either. So just scroll down if you'd like to read it yourself. You're probably going to read a lot better than I could anyway. Brandy, number one, I want to give you a little bit of accolades for a couple things. Number one, first and foremost, just the attitude that you come with in business. When I was on your podcast, I just felt so comfortable being interviewed by you. You're so genuine and warm. And I really appreciated that. And then I totally effed up. And I was like at least 10 minutes late on this podcast episode. And I felt so bad, but you have just been so genuine and awesome. And I really think that that type of behavior says a lot about a person on how they work with somebody when stuff hits the fan. So
yeah,
huge shout out to you there. The second one is there are many podcast agencies out there, not just yours. What I've noticed is different about yours is some of the agencies that I've worked with, and I work with most of my team is in the Philippines. And so like I fully love and respect working with people from the Philippines. I think they do a great job. And it's obvious that we can save money when we hire and employ people from overseas because it's just a totally different world. Like cost of living is so expensive in New York and Denver and some of these other places. Yeah. So I just want to give you second props and shout outs that you've actually, even though you charge about the same and even less than some companies that are making that bigger profit margin, you actually employ all people from Denver. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they all have benefits. So that's something that I think needs to be highlighted in the beginning. With that all said, let's find out from you, like, what are you doing in order to get people booked on podcasts? Because I'm hoping that if we can't afford, if for any reason we're like not at that place where we're like, hey, I'll pay you to book me, and we want to book ourselves, what are the takeaways that are going to help us to be able to do that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for all of that that you said. That was great. I needed that boost on this Wednesday, so I appreciate that. I always tell people, we get this question all the time from potential clients, and they ask, why can't I just do this myself? And I'm like, you absolutely can do this yourself. And if you have the bandwidth, I encourage that. It's what I used to say in my PR business too. People would say like, why should I hire you to do this? Why can't I do this? You know, there is a level of connections that we have that makes our job a little bit easier that we've developed over the years. But honestly, like if you have the time and you know kind of just the basics to how to get started, you can absolutely do this yourself. You can book yourself on podcasts. And it's really about making sure that what you're looking at is aligned with your expertise. I think that even some of our clients that come to us and start working with us, you know, they've listened to maybe Tim Ferriss or How I Built This and some really mainstream podcasts, which are all fantastic. They're very well produced. They have amazing guests on, but it may not even make sense for some of our clients to be on those shows. It's making sure, first and foremost, that you have alignment with the shows that you're reaching out to and that you're also positioning yourself as an expert, that you're not trying to sell something. Don't lead with your resume, just like this podcast. If somebody wants to find out more about you, they can search you. They can look at your LinkedIn profile. They can see your timeline. They can get your bio. Give them something interesting. Give them something, a conversation that maybe they haven't had before. Pay attention to what they've published in the past and comment on that. Hey, I saw that guest you had on or listened to the episode a couple of weeks ago. I loved that conversation. And I feel like I'm very much aligned with that, but I also can add this. Like, have you ever thought about this perspective? So making sure that you're not selling a product or a service when you're reaching out to podcast hosts, you're selling a conversation, and that conversation better be interesting. And so when you have that kind of a templatized way of reaching out to podcast hosts, then making sure that you customize it based on the podcast, and then finding shows that are maybe in your industry or an industry that you tend to work in. Like for us at KitCaster, a lot of our clients are in the technology space. So going on technology podcasts and talking about why podcasts are so great, like why they're better than white papers in describing your technology, things like that, like thinking outside of the box a bit and coming up with a good conversation that you can engage with. You can look at iTunes, and if you find a couple podcasts that you listen to that are specific to your industry or an industry that you're working in, start to look at the lookalikes. They'll make other recommendations. Oh, you like this podcast? Well, here are 10 more that are just like this one. And that's just a simple search in iTunes that you can dig into. And then it's just a matter of finding, the hardest part is finding the contact information. So that's the tricky. I don't have an answer for that. So we have all sorts of hacks that we use. We have a couple tools that we use. Listen Notes is one of them. And then we use Rocket Reach. That's a kind of a paid search. They give you a couple free searches. And then once you get to, I think, number 6, they put a pay barrier on it. So there's some ways of getting email addresses, but it's getting in front of the right people.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack, honestly. You mentioned that, well, let me see where we should start here. Number one is you're basically saying there's a lot of steps toward doing this. And one of them is the outreach. One of them is finding the right podcast. Another one is making sure you can outreach the right person. The third one, which for some reason I just wasn't thinking of until you mentioned it, is being a good guest. Like, actually, what the heck are you going to do getting on all these podcasts if you haven't focused on what is the message? What are you going to do a little bit differently? And so there's quite a bit to unpack there. And I'm wondering, like, you mentioned Listen Notes, by the way, which definitely easily put into the resources section. We use Listen Notes. Anytime we have a client, we subscribe them to Listen Notes so we can take screenshots of where they rank.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Listen Notes for you guys is doing more than simply being a place for you to know where you stand against other podcasters. But for you, it's almost a database of mm-hmm. where you could find podcasters in certain genres. Do you mind starting there and just sharing with us how you use Listen Notes? Because we talk about Listen Notes all the time on the show, but we never really talk about it in that context.
Yeah, from this perspective, absolutely. I mean, it's great to see where you're ranked as a podcast host, but they have all sorts of information that you can dig into. Again, there's a paywall involved, the more details that you obtain from Listen Notes, but you can search categories. So if your, let's say, artificial intelligence is your jam, so type in artificial intelligence, all of the podcasts that are associated with AI will populate. And then you'll be able to then filter it down to interview-based only podcasts. That's a huge one because you're certainly not going to get a guest interview on one that does not do interviews. So be mindful of that. So being able to kind of filter down into what it is, the specific categories that you're looking for, and then making sure that they're interview-based. And then from there, it shows when the latest episode was published, which is also huge because there are a ton of podcasts that start and stop. And so they, you can reach out to a podcast, may have not have published an episode for 2 years, but this content is evergreen. These podcasts live, they live on even when they stop publishing. So making sure that they're still in operation will, I would say that that's a really huge tip when you're searching for podcasts.
I'm thinking about like this whole process, and I had a question come to mind. Like, you're finding these people, you're finding a way to get a hold of them with Rocket Reach.
Yes.
And let's just say that you get their right information and you're able to reach out to them. I'm extremely curious, like, if you think one way works better than the other. When we do marketing for people's podcasts to like grow their downloads and listens and their listener base, it works better for us to be a third party when we're mentioning, I like this show, you should listen to it too. It takes a lot longer than that, but that's the gist of where we go is, as a third party, you should do this thing. Do you think, like, with these outreaches, with trying to get booked on a podcast, you feel like it works better to, like, if Adam wants to be on other people's podcasts, and if I had the bandwidth to actually do it, is it better for me to sit there and email everybody and say, I would be a good guest on your show? Or is it better for me to have a third party lifting me up and building me up and saying, hey, if you should have this guy on your show? What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's some validation in having a third party represent you. I mean, it lifts you up a notch in terms of people paying attention. And I also, I mean, just in our case at KitCaster, we have podcast hosts that will only work with us. The only guests they get are from KitCaster. And they want, even if somebody's like, hey, I would love to be a guest on your show, and they actually think they would be a good fit, they're like, great, you should contact KitCaster and they'll work with you. And then you can be a guest on the show. Because as you know, Adam, it is, vetting guests is work in itself. And especially if you have a podcast that is very niche and very specific attributes to whom you're going to have on the show. And so if they have a trusted partner that they can understand the types of guests they're looking for, that's a relationship that's hard to build, that trustworthiness. As an individual, yes, you can certainly reach out. And I think there's some beauty and charm to that as well, that you're like, you're paying attention. I think when you're reaching out via cold outreach, just yourself, being intentional and making sure that you make a little bit of a connection, a personal connection, is going to go a long ways. So if that's like maybe following them on social media first, start engaging with their content, maybe mention something they posted so that it shows that you're paying attention to what they're doing and that this outreach is very intentional. You're not just collecting a bunch of emails and sending a template to as many podcast hosts as possible.
What goes along with that outreach? Like, for example, I'm curious if you've found in your experience working with a lot of email marketing, and I know your staff, they've all done like communications majors or they've graduated with email marketing degrees or whatever it is. It's like you've probably learned through that or from trial and error that it's good to send an attachment or it's bad to send an attachment. Maybe it turns people off. Where are you guys with that? What's kind of like the most effective there?
I would discourage the sending of any attachment. I think that often gets trapped in some spam folders. What we do is we build out unique URL pages for all of our clients. So it's under KitCaster, but it's specific to each client that we have. So each of our 110 clients has a URL page that we just link to in the email. So if they want to find out more information about a particular person, if they want to see their bio, their timeline of their work history or something cool that they did in their career, we even have some leading questions that could kind of get the gears turning for their podcast hosts. And then media clips are also stored in that URL page. If they want to have a listen to our client on another podcast or read an article that they wrote for TechCrunch, just give them some additional materials.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can do that through a Dropbox as well. Yeah. So if you want to send a Dropbox link or any other form of sharing, a Google link and having all the information there.
So you are saying that you found that if you're doing outreach and you're doing an attachment, for example, an attachment could be like a one sheet. People often say this is like a one sheet and it helps me to get booked on podcasts because it's classy, it's professional, it talks a little bit about me and does some of the things that you mentioned. It sounds like you're saying like when you do that repeatedly to new emails, it might give it less credibility and so the deliverable rate will go down. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly right. And even some organizations just have a block completely on attachments. So it's just tricky. And I think people are a little bit leery to open an attachment from a stranger. So a link is tricky as well. But again, if you're kind of building up that trust and that communication and showing that you're a real person conducting outreach on your own, I think that a link is a much better approach. And you can do, like, you can take that one pager, because that's essentially what we're creating, but we just put it on a landing page. So if you have a website, just kind of nestle that in there. And that way you can send the link versus an attachment.
I'm really also curious about this other part of your process and how it might work for us. Like when I'm on social media, like I know it's not an email. So there are a lot of differences. And one of the reasons why I'm asking you is to understand what the differences might be. But when I am on social media or when my team does social media, for example, to promote somebody else's podcast, I tell the team never, ever, ever, ever send a link, at least on social, without permission. So it's like we get to a place where we want to promote, let's just say it's my podcast, the podcast I'm podcasting. So my team will say something like, it looks like you're wanting to start a podcast. And they say, yeah. And then the team says, have you heard of this one podcast? Podcast on Podcasting. It's the best one in the whole entire universe. And that's a fact, by the way. And then the person responds and says, I have not heard of it. Then my team will say something like, I'd be happy to send the link. Let me know if you want it.
Yeah.
Or would you like me to send the link? And we only send it if they say yes, because I know we're going to get caught for spam if we're sending the link just randomly and somebody's like turned off that there's a link. So I'm curious, like with your outreach, do you wait to send the link or is it on the very first one? And if it is on the first one, is there any concern that it will be flagged as spam?
Yeah. I mean, I think asking permission is very smart. We will send it on the first outreach when we've worked with the podcast before. Like many of the podcasts that we've kind of taken all this information that we've gotten over the course of our business, and we have a CRM system that we've retrofitted to be our database, and it has all the information that we need to do our job. So if we've already worked with a podcast host, they know who we are, they know what kind of information they're going to get from us, we go ahead and send the link. A lot of times when we're just initiating a new relationship with a host, we'll ask, first of all, do you take guest recommendations? And if so, what kind of information do you want to vet potential guests? So it's like, instead of just giving people what they didn't ask for, it's asking them, can you? And if so, what is it that you want from me? Because you could send them a bunch of information that means nothing to them. And then they're going to end up asking for other things.
Brandy, today's conversation is especially relevant to me today because like the clients that we work with, I would say five of them just in the last like 2 weeks. I mean, it's just, it's like a snowball. Like today I got two. And what our clients are saying is they've basically been running their podcast for a certain amount of time. They've had it for 3 weeks or they've had it for 3 months or they've had it for 3 years. And the process of getting good guests, new guests that they haven't already had on their podcast is becoming kind of like a burden for them. And I've just actually, while I was late for this call, I was replying to Eileen who said she's doing 5 days a week. Podcast. So she has over 100 episodes out already in a very short amount of time. And she was asking me, just like many others, how do I get good guests? And I'm like, what do you need? Do you need us to put you in touch with them? Do you need us to just send you the information? She's like, just send me the information. Like, I need to get this going. And I could tell it was really urgent. And so I suspect if that's happening with so many of our clients, that our listeners probably like wondering, how do they get good guests on their show? So it's two part. You serve both people, right? Like you serve. Okay. Tell me about one of your podcast clients or one of the people that you've outreached to. And they are basically telling people that reach out to them, I'd love to have you, but you got to go through Brandy first. Out of curiosity, like, why does that host prefer to get it through you? What are you doing differently?
Yeah. So they actually wrote us a pretty detailed email when we first started working with them, telling us like how they've worked with other PR agencies or maybe similar podcast specific booking agencies. And the guests were just not the caliber that they were looking for. And they were not showing up on time. They had all sorts of issues. And they were like, we're done with that. Like we'd almost like written off working with anybody in that world until we found you guys. And so they just tell us like, hey, here's what we want. Here are the types of conversations that we want to have. And can you just feed us those people? So that's what we do. And actually one of our team members, she is in really close communication with them on a weekly basis. And she comes to them with like, hey, here are some of our clients I think would be a really good fit. What do you think? They get on a Zoom call and they talk every week. And then they schedule it. Like they're like, yes, no, more of this, less of that. And it's something I think that we talked about when we chatted on my interview with you, Adam, was that podcast hosts want to have conversations. And one of the things that they disliked about some of the guests that they'd received previously was that they were trying to pitch products or services and not flowing with the conversation. Just they had an agenda and they weren't willing to part from that agenda. So I think that that was one of the things they wasted a lot of time is what they said. Like they were unable to publish the recordings. They would show up for interviews and the guests wouldn't ever show. And so for them, that was some of the benefits of working with us. And so some of the hosts that we work with too, they'll have an idea for a season in mind. Maybe it's like building company culture. So we'll get on calls with them and they'll say, hey, here's my theme for the season. It's about building company culture. Who can you bring to me that has a really strong story there? So then we just go through all of our clients and we pull out the ones that we think are strong and then we make that connection.
I just had basically an epiphany with something that you said. The person that, for example, had wanted to get company culture guests on their podcast, how much did they have to pay you for you to put them in contact with all these other people that you work with?
So nothing, because we're getting paid by our clients. So for us, it's like a win, right? It's a win for our clients to be aligned with the right podcast. It's important for us. Like those podcast host relationships that we have are so valuable. So we will do anything to make sure that they're happy with the people that we're connecting them with, which are our clients.
Looking at that, thinking all of our clients, like all of the podcasters that we work with, the ones that are stressed because they're running out of time to find their guests, they're running out of, I don't know how to get past this network. Like, I've met everybody that I can meet. I've asked them all to come on my show. One of the things that they might be able to do is find a company like yours, go to, like, I don't know if you could just go to kitcaster.com and then tell you, hey, I need some guests.
Yeah. But
if they can, like, how do they do that? What is our process of finding guests, the type of guests that we need?
I would say reach out to me directly, because that's what I'm doing almost every day, is kind of figuring out like what it is you're looking for. And then myself and my team, we put our heads together and then we present a list, like, here's everyone we think would be a good fit. So just reach out to me directly, Brandy, B-R-A-N-D-Y at Kitcaster, and tell me what you're looking for. Some podcasts have very specific attributes that they want to see in a guest. So what are they? And we'll find them.
And right before I asked that question with the epiphany, I was thinking about something you said. You mentioned that in a way you're talking about two types of guests. One type of guest is one who's going to pitch the whole time, who's probably not going to have a lot of value or tangibles or actionable content. And the other might be somebody who's there to have a good conversation and to add value to the listener. Out of curiosity, like, do you do anything like coaching or support? If somebody is like, I don't know where that balance is, like, I'm so sorry, but it is hard to say what being sheepish and not ever mentioning my stuff and making no money back from this investment I'm making versus being too pushy and salesy, and it's a tough place. Like, where is that balance? So I'm curious if you by chance have any coaching or consulting that can help somebody be a better guest and offer the value, but also get value too.
Yeah, we do actually. We offer a service called Storycraft. It's very much like media training, but media training's like seems old and outdated to me. So we gave it a facelift and we call it Storycraft, because podcasting is a different medium. If you've done traditional media training, podcasting is a 30 to 60 minute conversation. So how do you weave some of your personal narrative? What have you done in your career, in your life? What are you aspiring to do in the future? How do you weave all that together? And then also highlight what you're doing today and why you're doing it and what kinds of tips. Like, I love this, Adam, like just being able to provide, like, this is what you do. This is your expertise. Our expertise is booking people on podcasts, but also I love sharing how we do it. I know that it takes a lot of work, and if you have the bandwidth, absolutely go for it. But a lot of people just, they don't have the bandwidth. So if somebody hears you on a podcast, just because you're not selling the whole time, they are listening to you and hearing the expertise that you're bringing to the conversation. They're going to walk away and they're going to be like, wow, Adam knows what he's doing. He knows this business inside and out. Like, that's the person I should be working with. So that's kind of what we work on in our Storycraft sessions with our clients, is really like focusing in on kind of your humble beginnings, where you're at now, and what does that future look like? Bringing in a hook. It's funny that you start your whole podcast with, I'm not going to read your resume, because that's how we start our Storycraft. Like, don't get on a podcast and regurgitate your resume. Like, people are going to be falling asleep with their headphones on. Hook them in. Tell them something interesting. Drop a stat that's like, whoa, earth shattering. Like, $2 billion is going to be spent in podcast advertising by 2023. It's crazy.
Did you make that up or is it real?
It's real. That's a real stat. It's real. I may be off on the year, but it's 2 billion. I don't know if it's 2022 or 2023, but like, drop a stat that's like, wow, like, get people to pay attention, or a heartfelt story that you help somebody with your technology, or maybe a medical device, whatever it is that you were able to change somebody's life. Those are the things, that's what we connect with. As humans, we connect to stories. So
For me, whenever I'm on someone else's podcast, I try to use a story to illustrate a point. And sometimes it makes the episode go a little bit longer, to be honest. The host generally is like, I'm glad you shared that story because that like made it sink. That made it like real. Not all the stories are like about a client. I'm not always like, oh, I had this one client. He went through this and he solved it by hiring us or something like that. But it's always trying to be a story that's at least relatable. Like, you're probably in this place. I know somebody who's been in this place. This is like what happened in the story. And this is the end result. Whether or not it ties into my company, I think certainly using the stories is beneficial for getting a result. I also like how you said not to just start saying everything that you've ever done. I've always disliked that. Like when it feels like it's scripted, it's awful. When it's like, or it makes it harder to listen to, at least in my opinion. What else in getting booked on shows, either if you're working with a company like yours and need to know, like, how do you vet a company before you start working with them? Or if it's things we need to know if we're going to do our own outreach, what have we missed so far in our conversation that can help us to be growing our brand through being on other people's shows?
So I think a big piece of what we do is scheduling. And it's somewhat of a nightmare because you are juggling time zones and calendar restrictions. So that is something when you're booking yourself on podcasts to take into consideration. What is your availability going to look like in order to go on to somebody else's show? And try to make yourself available throughout the day. Maybe you throw like 1 or 2 hours in the morning, midday, and then late afternoons so that you can kind of cover all of the various time zones that you may be engaging with. And don't restrict yourself to one day because there are podcasts all over the globe who have listenership everywhere. Just because they're in New Zealand doesn't mean that they don't have a huge US-based listenership. Maybe a New Zealand audience is something that you're interested in getting in front of. So just take that into consideration when you're scheduling. And a lot of times they don't necessarily tell you where they're at. I think that we sometimes forget that we're communicating with folks all over the world. And so just making yourself, building out pockets of time that would accommodate different time zones is something that I think a lot of people don't really think about.
I like that you mentioned that there's podcasts all over the globe. Is there any other consideration that we should be thinking of whether or not going on somebody's podcast that's in another country would make sense or not based on their avatar or what time they publish or what type of, I don't know, like for you in your company, I'm wondering, is it that you ignore what the country of that other person when you're booking like your clients on their shows? Because it could be irrelevant since it is listened to all over the globe. Or is it like somebody might perhaps say, well, my avatar, I only work with somebody in the US. I only work with somebody in this one region. And so please don't go. I don't want to be on Australia or England or whatever because of that. Like, what makes you in your business, because you do it a lot more than I do, actually make that consideration whether it's important or not?
Yeah. So we do pretty extensive onboarding discovery session with all of our new clients. And so that's one of the questions is just, where's your geographic reach? And there are a lot of podcasts that are all over the globe who have a significant US listenership. If our clients, like, you know what, most of our clients reside in the US. Majority of our clients do. So really it for us, it's just asking. We'll ask the podcast host if they're based in, I keep using New Zealand because we actually have quite a few podcast hosts in New Zealand.
New Zealand accents are some of the best.
They're the best.
You can send me New Zealand booking guests anytime you want.
Oh yeah, it's very pleasant. But the time change is significant. So just asking, what's your demographics look like? And we also use a resource called Chartable. And that will oftentimes give us a breakout of the listenership, where the majority of the listenership resides. But it's challenging. Like if you have a business, let's say the goal going on podcast is to increase, like let's say you have a gym in Denver, Colorado. and you want to go on podcast because you want more members to your gym, it's going to be very hard. Because if depending on people walking in the door and it's a proximity-based business, it's challenging. Unless you have a virtual component to it, for driving people to a physical location, I would say that probably isn't the best avenue for you. Would you agree with that, Adam? Have you had people in that world like that have like a coffee shop? We've had a few people that have like service-based businesses, but are very geographic dependent.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've definitely had a lot of those people, and sometimes they come to us to start a podcast. And that's like the one time when I push back. I want the business. I want to support people. I want to see people have podcasts. If it's like really small geographic area that they can even serve, I have to play devil's advocate and ask them, what is going to be the benefit if somebody in California or Florida listens to this podcast and you're in Denver? And in many cases, people are like, you're right. Maybe I shouldn't start a podcast. And I feel bad doing that because podcasts are great. But if that's your main goal, like you got to understand that before you get into it. One of the questions that I was going to have for you, I was really curious, like, when somebody comes to you, like, is there like a certain package? I always say that it's usually around like $600 to get on these podcasts. I know with you, it's a little less than that, but barely. It's like $500 or so. But is there like, when I sign up with you, you do all this onboarding and I could only get on one podcast if I wanted to, or is there a minimum like 10 or 12 or 30?
Yeah. So we do a 6-month podcast tour is what we call it. So it really is that it, even in my traditional PR business before starting Kitcaster, there's a ramp up time and it takes a little bit to get things going. And especially if your goal is brand building, exposure, like there's a certain amount that we just need to do in order to accomplish that goal. So what we do is we are booking 3 podcast interviews every month for 6 months. So that shakes out to be 18 podcasts total over the course of the campaign. And then we're building out your media page. We're doing the discovery call, really digging into your goals and the story crafting, making sure that you're prepared for the podcast. So that's what our campaign looks like. And it's $1,500 a month. And once we hit that 6 months, so we've had clients that have been with us for 2 years. They've been on so many podcasts. It's incredible. They don't want to stop. They love it. For them, it's like they see the benefits. They say that they get a handful of clients after each interview. And then they also do a really good job repurposing that content on all of their social media. So that's what our campaigns look like.
Do you have another 2 minutes to hang out with me?
I do.
I just have one last question. Like, how do you know if it's right for you to get booked on other people's podcasts? If you're super passionate about a message and you don't need any income, but you have money, of course, that's one reason to definitely get on other people's podcasts is because you want to get this message out. I think for most of my listeners on this podcast, we have a business and our business has various different types of pricing structures. And the question would be, is there like a threshold that how do we know if this is more of an investment or if we're just spending money?
Sure. When we do our calls or just our sales calls with potential clients, I would say that if you have our sweet spot is technology, we have people in the finance sector, we have some in health and wellness, but it kind of boils down to having an expertise, having different perspective. Maybe there's a unique technology that you're bringing to the marketplace. I was joking about this before, but like why podcasts are better than white papers. I truly believe they are. And what we've heard time and time again from our clients is that when they have prospective clients calling them after they heard them on a podcast, they come ready. Like they're like, hey, I listened to you for 60 minutes. I know why you're doing what you're doing and I know how you do it. And I understand why you're different. I'm ready to go. So that kind of shrinks up that sales process, especially for some that have longer sales cycles. because they come with an understanding of what it is that they do and how they do it and why they do it. Yeah. So I would say that there's a huge benefit to those individuals who maybe have a more complex technology or business, even a different way of investing. We've got a couple different folks that we work with that have investment platforms, but have just a different lens on that. I would say that it's just a huge benefit to be able to talk about what you're doing and why you're different than all of the people, or maybe like, hey, I've been in email marketing my entire life. Here are the problems that I saw with it. I saw A, B, and C. Those are the issues. And so that's why I decided to launch this company to address all three of those problems.
Yeah. Love it. I'm going to jump off and I just want to say, appreciate your time jumping on the podcast, pouring into us, and also mention that I hope that your email gets taken advantage of. I know for sure I'm probably going to be putting you in touch with like five of our clients that are looking for podcast guests.
Please do.
And that way you can put them in touch with your 100 plus clients and connect them and help them to be able to make it a little bit easier on them, so they don't have to be like, I need a guest or else I can't publish. That's just a bad feeling. So brandy@kitcaster.com, which is also already in the show notes, but I will definitely be putting you in touch with Eileen and a few of our other clients that are looking for that right now.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you too. And by the way, if you're listening and you want to get booked on other people's podcasts and you want to do a 6-month tour with Brandy's company, I highly encourage it. I'll make sure that the link is also in the show notes so you would be able to do that and you'd be able to really get your brand out there and your message in front of other people. So if you're listening to this and you're bored, the very next episode is going to be a short episode with me just pouring into your business. I do that every other episode where I just spend a little bit of time with you, giving you some actionable step about to happen in the very next episode. So stick with me. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now. Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are looking to upgrade like your podcast equipment or just get your very first affordable microphone, then go to growyourshow.com/PDF. That link's in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. On that PDF is 100% equipment for your podcasting studio that I've personally vetted. My team has vetted this. We know that it works. We know that it's affordable, and we don't want you paying more for your podcasting equipment. So again, if you're looking to upgrade your equipment or get your very first inexpensive microphone that works great, that's where you go. And then number two is, got a free course, A to Z, on everything you need to know about podcasting. And you don't have to go anywhere but the podcast in order to access it. You don't have to even give me an email address to access it. It is just the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So what you'll do is you'll scroll down a bit. You'll click on all episodes and scroll down, because we're hundreds of episodes in. And you'll see that episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a free course from A to Z on launching a top podcast. Take advantage of those two things. I'll see you on the next episode.